Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
A couple of armchair GMs who have yet to be wrong with any of their Timberwolves takes. Right. It's Flagrant Howls with Phil Mackey and Kyle Tighe.
Fresh off a little back-to-back with a moral victory. Let's give it up for a moral victory against the Nuggets. And
a real
spitting,
victory.
Spitting in the face of a schedule loss by winning a back-to-back in which you traveled from the road and time zones for a victory, a comeback victory. Dude, did you see the Raptors had 122 points with 8 minutes to go, and they scored 4 points the rest of the way?
I know. I've never seen a team score a bunch of points and then not score anymore in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Except for when the Wolves did it on Wednesday against the Nuggets. Oh. Though the Raptors are a great, I mean, there are probably not three teams in the league that'd be more difficult to play on the second end of a back-to-back when you're going through from one city to another, getting in late, than that Raptors team, because they just go up and down. And they play small, and they're just so physical and, you know, just running up and down. But then they showed you as a Wolves fan, as someone listening to this, like, other teams are just as good at blowing leads and spitting all over themselves and just completely melting down, just like the Wolves. So, yeah, it was, of all the games, I said it was, like, the biggest win of the season. It might be kind of dumb because it's January, but you just don't see teams win those games. Like, there are – schedule losses are, like, a thing. And for them to somehow be down 18 and pull it off the way they did, too, with D'Lo hitting shots, them playing really good defense, was pretty incredible, because that's literally not the team you saw on Wednesday on ESPN in Denver. It was a complete opposite. So they learned from their mistakes.
And after that win, is it too early, by the way, a minute and 41 seconds into this episode for a look at the Western Conference playoff picture? Because with that win now, the Wolves are now back within a game of 500. They do get a home and home, right? It's a home and home,
yep,
against the Rockets.
Yep.
Now, of course, you can sit here and say, all right, so they're a game within, and now they get the Rockets back to back. So that's two more wins. But this is the weirdest team, because we've seen them go toe to toe on national TV with the number one team in the West, the Nuggets, right? And kind of blow a 5 or 6 point lead with a couple minutes left. But then we've also seen them lose two games to the Pistons, who are actively trying to get ping pong balls, all in the last like 3 weeks. So I don't think it's easy as saying, oh, okay, let's give them two wins against the Rockets. They could easily split or lose both those games. We don't know. But they are tied for the 7 seed in the West, and they are a game and a half out of the 5 seed, which Dallas currently occupies. So the West, you can say maybe the West is just devoid of top teams. But I would also say there's just 13 competitive teams kind of beating up on each other.
Yep.
The Wolves have definitely underachieved, but the West just has a lot of teams kind of in that, you know, that 4 to 13 range that are just punching each other, and they're caught up right in the middle of that mess, I guess.
Yeah. And everyone in from 5 to 13 could say this, but yeah, the Wolves are just like one weird Pistons win away from, or loss away from, like being the 5 seed. And to think about all the stuff we've gone through and all the fires that have already happened this season, just, you know, 40 some games in, it's pretty impressive. I mean, it really is. Not, they shouldn't get a banner for being 23 and 24, but they've had so many injuries. I think they are like top 5 or 6 in most games lost due to injury. Well, last year they were top 3 or 4 and like lucky on the injury side, and on this year it's kind of gone the other way. But yeah, to be, I mean, it takes one good week to get you to 5th, it takes one bad week to get you to 13th. But to play as well as they did for the most part against Denver and lose a game they probably should have won, I thought it was an impressive win, because you just lose those games against the Raptors. And I'm a big believer in that not all wins are the same and not all losses are the same. That type of win, the way they did it, the way they kind of gelled, the locker room, the quotes coming out of that locker room last night were hilarious and great. The vibes seemed at an all-time high, but that's the type of stuff that can kind of spin it a little bit. Like, again, these two games against the Rockets, the Timberwolves are the perfect franchise to find three losses in two games. Like, that's just who they are. But yeah, it's kind of setting it up for them now to maybe make a little run before the All-Star break, kind of solidify themselves, because, yeah, the Wolves still have problems, but, man, so do the Clippers. The Warriors, like, oh, they're, man, resting everyone second night of a back-to-back. Like, the Suns are dumpster. The Blazers are, I mean, there's the teams that they're fighting with are also dumpster fires as well. So who's going to be the least dumpster fire these next 3 months is pretty entertaining.
I keep riding the roller coaster of, as I sort of look ahead, you know, the rest of this season and the summer, where there's going to be a ton of conversations. And every time the Wolves have a game like last night where Gobert, Cat's been out for like 26 games or something, but when you're without both Cat and Gobert, and there's been games where they've been without those guys and D'Lo, and they play their asses off. And they've had games where they played their asses off with those guys too. I mean, there was the Pacers game before all hell broke loose, where it looked like it finally all clicked with all of them, and then Cat goes down, and then, you know, then they have to go and find their way again. But there is something really interesting about Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels, who was excellent again last night. He swatted a shot in the, he just came out of nowhere on the weak side and just swatted a shot in the last couple minutes into the fourth row. I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm so conflicted, because I know that those players are excellent players, but I feel like sometimes when Gobert is out and or Kat is out, and even sometimes when D'Lo, who was good last night, is put off to the side, it allows these other guys led by Ant to just play with a different level of passion and empowerment. How do you put it all in a stew and bottle it, or can't you? That's my biggest question here.
No, I think it's a good point. I always remind myself, again, you brought up that Pacers game. My first reaction to you saying that was, wasn't that like 2019? Like, that's how far ago it seemed that the Pacers was a really good win and they had figured it all out. The NBA, even more than baseball to me, as someone who covers it, like, it, this season takes so long and there are so many ups and downs. And I do think an Ant Jaden with all the fun role players and a couple savvy vets can give you good sparks and give you good games. Last night was good. I mean, again, D'Lo, the Wolves aren't really, we're not talking about Ant's defense late in the game or Jaden's defense if it wasn't for D'Angelo Russell hitting, you know, 5 of 6 shots and icing the game at the free throw line. But I do think Ant and Jaden can lead you through spurts, but this league is so talented right now that you do, you know, you're not, the Wolves think they can match up against the Nuggets pretty well. You're not beating Nikola Jokic with Luka Garza and Naz Reid and Nate Knight. Like, at some point you need Rudy Gobert if you're going to beat that team in a series. Same with Carl. Like, you're going to need, talent always wins out in this league, and Jaden and Ant are really talented, but to make this consistent, to do this when it matters, you need those best guys. So, but the fact that they're doing it without him for the most part and treading water is really commendable, and props to Finch, props to some of the veterans, props to, you know, Kyle Anderson, the best free agent signing in Timberwolves
Kyle
history.
Anderson. You mentioned they're not going to hang the banner for them being 23-24 or whatever the record is.
We could, though.
We should do a hang the banner game here on Flagrant Halls. They only have, like, do they have a banner? Did they hang, like, a division banner 15 years ago? Finally won a playoff series banner or something?
I mean, it's when you look up in the Target Center rafters, there's a lot of Lynx stuff, which deservedly so, because they're won a lot of championships. There's, like, a...
It's like Malik Seeley, the sad, like, tragic Malik Seeley jersey.
Yep. And then, like, I mean, maybe, I don't know if they've hung the play-in victory banner yet. Maybe they're still designing that, but they should get one of those. But yeah, there's just not a lot of banners up there. So that's why, you know, winning the second night of a back-to-back against Toronto is like, do we have time? What's in the budget? Let's just put something up there that's like, hey, we did this. Gold star.
Dude, here's the banner I would hang. Kyle Anderson's last three games, he's averaging 15 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 2.5 steals on 65% shooting. And he's shooting 80% on threes over those games. Can we hang that banner?
Just like a banner of his face. Also, I was looking this up today because I thought he was in his 30s for whatever reason. He just turned 29.
He looks like he's 42.
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure. And he just turned 29 in September, and I've been kind of thinking, like, I think this guy might be a we talk about like cores or foundations, and it's always just the young guys, but it's been proven time and time again that you need veterans to kind of win when it matters. I think Kyle Anderson, who is signed through next season, is like a core piece of this team. He is, Finch loves him. He was the first major transaction, you know, performed by Tim Connelly and the Avengers down there at Mayo Clinic Square. And he just does all the little things. Like last night, D'Lo's ability to hit those threes came because he didn't have to run the offense. That was Kyle's responsibility.
Yeah.
Kyle would give Ant a breather every now and then guarding, you know, Pascal Siakam. He also, do you watch Connelly? He's a guy that does not mind yelling at his teammates. Like he was yelling at Naz Reid. He was yelling at Ant for something, just, and they listen to him. So again, if you want to really feel sad, go Google top free agents in Timberwolves history. You might not even recognize the guy who's listed at fourth, let alone 10th, but Kyle Anderson is one of the best players this team has ever signed, and his impact, where would they be? They're 23 and 24. Where would they be without Kyle Anderson? They'd probably be like 16 wins. So
I think this is a good time for another lineup combination update too. It's been about probably 3 weeks since we've done this. So a lot of things have happened. Jordan McLaughlin has fallen out of the qualified minutes load, so you will not see him in here. Everybody else, pretty much, except for your guy, Luka Garza, and a couple other peripheral players, qualifies here. So let's look at, real quick, five-man lineup combinations. The Wolves have had two different five-man combinations on the court for at least 100 minutes. And these five-man combinations don't spend a ton of time together. It's usually like 6 minutes with the starters, and then Gobert will go out or whatever. But the original starting five before everyone got hurt, so the Towns, Gobert, D'Lo, Ant, and Jaden McDaniels starting five, which we haven't seen for 2 months, they were a plus 3.5 points per 100 possessions. So they actually had that thing. It wasn't dominant, but when they were on the court, they were outscoring their opponents, when you include offense, defense, everything, net points per 100, by just about 4 points per 100 possessions. The more recent starting lineup, the second most common five-man lineup for the Wolves, which is Rudy Gobert, who's been out lately, but Rudy Gobert, Kyle Anderson, Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell. So we're swapping now Cat for Kyle Anderson. Plus 12 points, net 12 points per 100 possessions. It's a legit good starting five.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that, like, Kyle Anderson is better than Towns, or that Towns is garbage, or he should be cast aside. It's just about these are all symbiotic relationships. You're trying to find combinations that work. And that combination with Kyle Anderson as kind of a Swiss Army knife is working really well.
Everyone has favorite pizza toppings. Like, I have my favorite stats, and I just, as kind of a scrummy point guard and pick up basketball, I like looking at assist to turnover ratio, because anyone can really rack up assists if you have high usage. You know, it's like he had 12 assists tonight, but then it's like, oh, he also had 5 turnovers. Like, it's not great, right? It's kind of like completions in the NFL, but you also thrown a ton of picks. Since the turn of 2023, the Wolves are 7-2. I think they have the third best record in the West in 2023, behind only Memphis and Denver, who are kind of running away at the top. But Kyle Anderson's averaging 6.3 assists and just 1.3 turnovers. Like, essentially almost like a 6-1 turn or assist to turnover ratio. That's such a big deal, man, because assists are guaranteed buckets and turnovers are guaranteed, you know, giving up the ball. So his ability, he looks healthy. He's probably playing the best basketball of his career. And that role, you know, a Swiss Army knife, as we said in preseason, allows guys to just kind of do what they do best better. It takes pressure off D'Lo, takes pressure off Ant. Also, I mean, Kyle Anderson was, I think, guarding Nikola Jokic on Wednesday. Like, takes a little pressure off Naz Reid. So, amazing signing. Probably won't get Tim Connelly Executive of the Year. He might fall just a little short, but a fantastic move by them to go find a guy like that.
But what about the Kyle Anderson signing? You guys can't just savage me for just that one move that looked like an overpay.
The Austin Rivers signing, Luka Garza. We're getting close, but there's still that gaping hole on the Timberwolves resume that might do him in.
Kyle Anderson also, if you go to three-man lineup combinations, of the seven best three-man lineups, so the Wolves have had seven lineup combinations with enough minutes. to qualify of a net plus minus of plus five or better per 100 possessions.
Mm-hmm.
So seven of those. Kyle Anderson is part of five of them, including the best. Can you name the best three-man lineup? I already gave you one-third of it. Kyle Anderson plus which other two guys are the Wolves' best three-man lineup combination?
Is it Jaden and Ant?
You're half right. Jaden's one of them.
Jaden's in there. Jaden, Kyle, and Torian Prince?
Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert, okay. Okay.
It's a great sign to see Gobert. Yeah, They're finding some combinations that mm-hmm. work with Gobert.
Yep.
So they are almost a plus 12 net per 100 possessions when Kyle Anderson, Jade McDaniels, and Rudy Gobert are on the court.
And I know we're probably going to touch on Carl a little bit, who's continued to be out, missed a bunch of games. When I look at it through my eyes and I watch Kyle Anderson play, like, he's a core part of this team moving forward. But he also gives me hope that, and it's going to take some juggling for sure. Finch is going to have his work cut out. But I do think there's a lot of Kyle Anderson in Carl's game. I mean, Kyle Anderson's attacking the rim as well, you know, driving, kicking, setting up his teammates. I think Carl's shown your ability to do that too. He was leading the team in assists for that first month before he went down. He had a good rapport with Rudy. So it gives you hope that they're going to have to figure, I don't know if they're going to be able to play Kyle and Carl with Rudy all the time. There's going to be some weird rotations once this is all healthy, but the Kyle Anderson is the Jordan McLaughlin now, right? It's like, put him into your formula. Anyone who's playing with them is probably going to have a good rating. And that's another one too. Like, imagine if we can get Kyle and Jordan on the same court. Like, those two guys have always dominated net ratings and these little lineup things. It might just be, you know, they've got a lot of talent, deepest team around. That's why they're still 23 and 24, but getting their star players back and seeing how they play with a Kyle Anderson now would be pretty cool.
So the second best three-man combination is Anthony Edwards, Jalen Noel, and Naz Reid together.
Okay. Just
offensive firepower and energy guys. Yeah. And then you go, this is interesting too. You go Kyle Anderson, Rudy Gobert, D'Angelo Russell is the third.
Okay.
I like to see some diversification here. These are good signs. And then it's Kyle Anderson, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels is the fourth, which is another good, interesting one.
I think we're in the process of retiring number 22 for Patrick Beverley. I would not be against retiring Kyle Anderson's number 47 games through the season because the teams that are at the top of the West or the East, they always have a guy like Kyle Anderson. So the Wolves haven't really figured out the $90 million of their front court yet and haven't gotten them healthy. But to have a guy like that who is Kyle Anderson seemingly healthy, playing his best basketball, shooting absurd percentages from three, like, he just, once he catches it outside the 3-point line, it's like, oh, this is going to go in. And if you've ever watched Kyle Anderson before, like, that's not a real thing. Like, he was a detriment to your team spacing the floor. So that was like the final, you know, piece of the puzzle. Is like, once he could shoot and space the floor, it's kind of all over for me. I mean, he was giving it to Pascal Siakam yesterday and it was awesome. Yeah. So impressive stuff, impressive signing. Shout out to Tim Conley.
I feel like sometimes defenders don't honor his shot, not because he can't make threes. It's because it doesn't look like he's actually going to shoot the ball, right? Like, he goes,
yep.
He does this like super long load, the slow-mo load, and defenders are like, that can't be an actual shot. Is he pump faking? What is he doing? And then it's just like, he's just like going into his motion.
Well, and it's also, so the thing about being 29 and being signed for another year is like, what is his game going to look like at 34? Isn't it going to look this like, what?
The
he's
going
to get slower? Like,
he's had
that
old
make him
man
better?
Game for 8 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's going to be dropping 40 when he's like 50 in like the YMCA. So they got a guy who you probably wouldn't have said is at his, you know, peak years. But if you can get 4 or 5 years of Kyle Anderson moving forward with all the stuff you had to give up for Rudy, I mean, that does fill a lot of holes. He's also a great quote. He is a beloved teammate in that locker room. A lot of guys really look up to him. He had some hilarious things last night about comparing D'Angelo Russell to, like, the movie Bad Boys 2. Some great quotes out there. But he gives you everything you want. He's not making max money. He's making, you know, the mid-level exception. So it's important to have a guy like that. Important to have a guy like TP. But now when you see it last night, like, oh, Kyle looks great. Jaden looks great. Ant was on ball. Like, D'Lo's hitting shots. It's like, man, I really want to see Carl look back. Like, I really want to see Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yep. How does he fit?
Folded back into this and see, you know, is it a souffle or is it still a kind of a wacky recipe?
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Cat, so he, I don't know that we ever fully knew the extent of his calf strain. The Wolves have not been really providing like day-to-day updates or anything. Originally, it was reported 4 to 6 weeks, and mid-January is a good target. Well, we're already like two-thirds of the way through January, and he's really nowhere near coming back yet. So he was on he does these Twitch streams. He was live streaming a video game with Rudy Gobert last night, and Joe Nelson from Bring Me the News was like watching it for an hour. And during the Twitch stream, Ant said, I'll just read you the transcript here. We don't have the actual clip. He goes, and yeah, grade 3, man. I don't know what grade 2 they were trying to talk about. He's saying that it's a grade 3, which is worse than a grade 2 calf strain. On Bring Me the News is right up. They say, according to sports injury sites, a grade 3 calf strain can also cause a rupture of muscle fibers, blood vessels. Recovery time is said to be more like 8 to 12 weeks. Monday will mark 8 weeks since Towns was injured. 12 weeks will be February 20th. So that's maybe a more, if he's, I'm assuming he signed the truth, it's a grade 3. And then he said he may go live on Twitch again Friday night. Quote, it may not happen depending on how tomorrow goes. I got to see the doctors on Friday. He's got a boot that he doesn't necessarily want to put on camera. So maybe February was always a more realistic target, but it doesn't sound like he's anywhere near being able to play professional basketball right now.
You know, and this is, it's a great update. I mean, I really do like commend Carl for kind of being transparent. I'm sure people would want to give blowback to them, but the whole way, and I kind of defer to you because you've covered teams and been in locker rooms and stuff a lot more than I have, but the way that injuries are reported, I don't really know what to do with them, because when Carl did go down against the Wizards, we pretty much all assumed it was a torn Achilles. And then when it wasn't, not only were we so relieved, but I was like, oh, awesome. He'll be back in 6 weeks. I don't know. Like, they have team doctors, you know, I don't think the Wolves are being malicious by any means, but I also had never really heard that I've been hearing all-star break for a while. And again, I'm not a reporter or anything, but just you talk to people like, yeah, it's a serious, those calf injuries are massive. I mean, again, he's a much better player than Jordan McLaughlin, but Jordan McLaughlin has a calf injury and he just can't. I watched Jordan McLaughlin go through warmups, do his whole shooting routine, work out with bands when he was in Portland. And that was in December, right? And that was a month ago. So yeah, I don't know. I think he will play again. I think they will get him back, but I also kind of do want to, I don't want to rush him back, because those are the types of injuries. It's not the wrist. Like, you tear a calf, you tear an Achilles. Like I said, it's kind of, Kevin Durant proved you wrong, but it's almost like a death blow to your career. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but I mean, I don't think we're going to see him next week. Hopefully maybe they get him back before the All-Star break, but the All-Star break is in less than a month. So maybe you just want to use that time to ramp him back up.
Well, it's also really important for this team and other teams, just depending on where this thing goes with Cat, that he plays at least like a month or a month and a half, I would think. Let's say for some reason catches a setback and he's out for the year. He does have a track record of being Cat and one of the greatest shooting big men of all time and all those things. Like, teams know what he is, but you just want to see how this thing gels together based on all the things you've learned about Point Ant and Kyle Anderson and Jaden McDaniels kind of finding his own the last 3 or 4 weeks. How does Cat integrate back into that, maybe even as more of a complimentary piece as opposed to like the featured piece? Can it work? Make your decision going into the summer, and then if you decide you have to move on for whatever reason, then at least other teams saw him putting up the 24 points. And so I'm not rushing him back, but like, he's got to get out there at some point for a month, month and a half minimum, for your sake and for the sake of other teams that might look to, you know, float trade offers your way this summer.
Well, it's crazy too to think that D'Angelo Russell was originally acquired to, you know, as one of Carl's best friends. The last game before the All-Star break is February 16th. It's a Thursday. The trade deadline is a week before, February 9th. If Carl were to not return prior to the All-Star break and D'Angelo Russell were to be, I mean, like, they might just never play a game again together. So
it's crazy.
I'm with you that, I really do. Like, I just get the guys healthy, because there's nothing worse you can do than rush a guy out there and then just have him re-injure it and now you're screwed. But you also bring up a good point. Like, we have so much sample size now with how Kyle fits with everyone and how what Jaden can do and all these guys. Like, you need to see again, okay, Rudy seems a little more comfortable when he's healthy doing Utah Rudy stuff, not trying to be Hakeem Olajuwon. What does it look like now with Carl in a more complimentary role? So hopefully he gets back sooner than later. I don't think it's going to be this month, but they need that because, again, they got to figure out this puzzle. They're treading water, but the purpose of this all-in trade was to not tread water. It was to really, you know, go Michael Phelps on this thing, and they can't do that without Carl and Rudy back in the lineup.
Yeah. All right, I think it's time. It's been a few weeks since we've dove into the comment section here. Phil and Kyle read the comments on Flagrant Howls. Let's start with this one from the Score North YouTube channel. And by the way, if you are watching this podcast on the Score North YouTube channel, if you could click the subscribe button and the like button, it would help us spread the word about this Timberwolves suffering Timberwolves community that you guys are helping us build here. So Dalton Holmquist says, I'm not up to date with the salary cap and how all that works with the Wolves this upcoming offseason, but clearly there is some concern here. On your guys' next episode, can you talk through the actual cap space we will have if we keep Cat and Gobert and then take into account paying Ant a max and if there would be a cap for McDaniel's contract, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we would both say that if you're looking for the absolute best person to lay this out all the time, Dane Moore, NBA podcast, he's incredible at this. I will keep it sort of high level, and you can chime in here, Kyle. So the projected salary cap for next season is $134 million.
Mm-hmm.
The luxury tax threshold is $162, which, mm-hmm, let's put that off the side. So it's a soft cap, meaning you can go over it by re-signing your own players,
yep,
but you can't go over it to sign an outside player.
Right.
So you got $134 million cap. The Wolves have $120 million in active contracts for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that includes a non-guaranteed Taurean Prince. It includes, I think there's like a team option on like a Nate Knight or something, but they're probably going to bring Taurean Prince back because they need good two-way players, mm-hmm, or leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So let's call it, for the purposes of this conversation, they're going to have $120 million tied up in active contracts. That does not count impending free agents, Naz Reid, Jalen Noel, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring guys back who are internals like this, but I don't know that you're going to have enough to bring guys back and also stay under the luxury tax. So to answer the direct question about Gobert and Cat, Gobert is at $41 million next year. Cat's at $36 million next year. That is 57% of their total cap. Ant and Jade McDaniels are up for extensions. They're still relatively affordable cap-wise next year, but those extensions, it would be a rookie max for Ant, and then probably something a little less for Jaden. Those would be signed this summer, right?
Yep.
And then kick in a year and a half from right now.
Yeah, and that's like the Carl thing, right? Carl signed that massive extension last summer, but it actually doesn't kick in like this year or next year. I guess I really do like in this topic specifically, Dane Moore's the guy. He did a really good pod earlier this week about like the D'Angelo Russell salary slot and why, if you don't think you're going to sign them long term, which they would be able to do, then you got to move them because you got to keep like that slot open. If you just lose D'Angelo Russell and the $32 million he makes, you don't just have $32 million to spend this summer. So,
mm-hmm,
but yeah, even a simpler way to say it is they can move forward with Carl and Rudy making all that money and pay Ant a max and pay Jaden, you know, $100 or whatever it is. The luxury tax thing is probably not worth talking about now, but when you have new ownership coming in, new ownership that is also buying the Timberwolves on some sort of layaway plan, it's going to be a topic that gets brought up more because, yeah, this rot, I mean, the cap is going to spike. There'll be new TV deals, all that stuff, but this team is going to be really expensive. And as it becomes more expensive and as Rudy and Carl make a combined $100 million in a couple of years, you're going to have to find creative ways to, you know, like I don't think Jalen Noel and Naz Reid are both gone, but it's very unlikely they're both going to stay. You're going to have to continuously find ways to get you know, Josh Minot's in the second round or that Spagnuolo kid who's in Italy. Like, you're going to have to find cheap players, but that's what all the top teams do. I mean, the Denver Nuggets right now have some kind of rotation guys that are very cheap on rookie scale deals. So it's going to be a challenge. And that's what you signed up for on July 3rd or whatever, when you traded away all your future cap flexibility and every other pick for the next 6 years to kind of buy into this core. But yeah, they can sign Ant. That's not going to be a problem. He'll take the extension. Rookies always do. Same with Jaden. But there will come a time where the budget, the Excel spreadsheets probably do force this team that if they're still treading water and not swimming laps, that Tim Connelly and his crew will have to pivot again and decide which of these expensive guys is worth kind of breaking into smaller deals.
Well, and here's where it gets really interesting is in 2 years, and these are estimates here. The projected cap in 2 years is an estimated $140 million with a luxury tax of like 170. So 140 is the cap. It's a soft cap again. You can go over it with your own internal guys. But Towns, Gobert, and Ant will project to take up $128 million of the $140 million projected cap.
Yep.
And then I'm on Spotrac.com. They're projecting Jaden McDaniels on like a $12 million a year contract. He might actually get more. I don't know how they're gonna.
It'll be interesting. Negotiate that. I would say I might be the one negotiating it actually, but I would be looking for double that. I mean, 4-100 might sound crazy to you for a kid who was picked in the late 20s, but he is also. I mean, he was going to get all defensive votes and stuff. So yeah, that number is going to be wild too, and just adds to what you're just saying with your math right now.
Yeah. And so these are things. Can you build enough peripheral, roster depth around these huge contracts, or do you have to move Karl Anthony Towns or Rudy Gobert for 50 cents on the dollar? I think you could get something substantive for Towns. With Gobert, you would come nowhere near getting what you gave up for him if you had to move out. But there are ways to clear out like a $40 or $50 million chunk and get some assets back as you go forward.
And you need... People always say this with like Naz Reid, like, what could you get for Naz Reid? Well, honestly, probably not that much, because not only is he a free agent, but to make these deals work to get really good players, you have to have the salary match, or like, you know what I mean? So Rudy Gobert making all that money or Carl making all that money isn't a terrible thing, because if I send $40 million out or $50 million out, I got to probably take back $50 million. You know, that's how trades usually work, unless you have exceptions and all these.
Well, that's how the Jazz wound up with. All of the
they had to. I mean,
you had to send
salaries.
Them like four players just to make the salaries match. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, there will come a day, and this is again why the margins on the Gobert trade were so small, is because not only are you going to have less cap flexibility, you're not going to have what would assume to be late first round picks to add young talent in. So there will be a day of reckoning where they're going to have to make some sort of deal if this doesn't work out, or they're just going to have to rely on what. To his credit, Tim Connelly was really good at in Denver finding, diamonds in the rough, Luka Garza, for example, is like a guy that I could see being here for the next 5 years. And that was kind of a two way weird, G League guy. So
he did find Walker Kessler. So there, I mean,
yeah, he did. I mean, again, he found Walker Kessler. Great pick. Executive of the year.
So if you find yourself in some crazy situation where someone is holding a gun to your head, and the only thing they want to know is, do you think D'Angelo Russell is still a Timberwolf 1 month from now? And your life depends on being right.
Man, he was really good last night. especially that fourth quarter.
He hit those three threes, man. He erased a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. He was 5 for 6 in the fourth, hit the two free throws with that rip-through move, which I hate, but they're going to call it, so he was smart to use it. Credited his teammates after the game for kind of finding him, but... I always come back to, it's not a personal thing. It's just, there has been no inclination that this team in this front office wants to extend him long-term, because they could. They could do it today. They could have done it this summer. When Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns, who are both repped by the same agent as D'Lo, like, they got the bag and D'Lo didn't. So if he's not going to be signed and play on this team next season, then he has to be moved. Not even of like a preference thing. It's just, you have to do something with that salary side. It's a big thing. It's a funny term for this team. But so maybe they stretch it out to the summer and then they do like a sign-in trade. D'Lo's done that before with Brooklyn to Golden State. But I don't know. I don't think he's here on February 10th. I just think they realize the situation they've put themselves into.
Yeah.
And they have to either stretch that out by getting a guy who's has another year on his contract, maybe get an asset as well, like that Kyle Lowry kind of talked about deal. But I don't think he's going to be here. I think the Wolves will struggle a little bit. I know that he is not everyone's favorite player, but last night was a good reminder that this team needs shooting. You know, with Carl out, no Malik
Beasley. That's what it is.
They need guys that can hit threes a little more consistently than, you know, up and down Jalen or up and down Nas. So, no, I don't think with this gun to my head that he is here on February 10th, but that's just kind of speculation and has to do more with how this team is financially set up.
Yeah, I would say I overall, I think the Wolves are better without D'Angelo Russell. I don't think he fits quite in, but then there's times like last night where the dude can get super hot. This is why he would be at some point an excellent 25 minutes per game, sixth man scoring punch that you can just deploy as needed. No offense taken if you only play him 15 minutes or if he has to sit for the last 10 minutes. It's not like a big ego blow if it was this is your role.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had to do that with him a couple times, even like in 2023, where it's like he just like doesn't play the last 10 minutes of a game because he's not good enough defensively. The on-off numbers for him too, by the way. So the Wolves are 5.5 points worse per 100 possessions when he is on the court this season. And some of that's him. Some of it's just combinations. In his own words, me and Ant are both alphas. If you can get some value for him, if there's a team that looks at that $30 million expiring and wants to fit it into their plans for this summer, and they'll give you something of value. I don't want Kyle Lowry's contract back. There's been some Heat rumors.
Listen.
So I don't know how you make it work with the Heat without taking Kyle Lowry and his contract, but maybe they can find something.
I do not attend the Icy D'Lo like group meetings that support him, but I'm also just not super out on him. But I do know that watching that game last night, the Wolves don't win it with Kyle Lowry at point guard. Lowry's not shooting 5 for 6 and doing some of those things. But it might just be best for both parties. I think D'Angelo Russell still can, like you've been on that. Like he can be a really good Jordan Clarkson. He can be a valuable contributor to a certain contender. I just don't think, again, roster wise, financially, draft picks, all that stuff, how this franchise has set themselves up by the moves they made last summer. I just don't think D'Angelo Russell is long for them. And if that's the decision you made or have made or have come to, then you got to move sooner than later. Otherwise, you're going to lose it for nothing. And then you're really, really trapped.
Yeah. Okay. Jeremy Spence chimes in here via YouTube. He says, I'm a Jazz fan. And yes, you guys got majorly fleeced, but so he's basically here to say, it's going to be okay. I'm a Jazz fan, but it's going to be okay. He goes, I'll spin this on a positive note. When the Jazz acquired Mike Conley, he was horrible his first year, and all the Jazz fans thought we made a big mistake. And then out of nowhere, in the second year, he played like an all-star. With that being said, I think it's still too early to judge Rudy right now. You still have a Hall of Famer on your team in Rudy that's still pretty young. He's got another 3 good years in him, I think. And the T-Wolves just have to make some adjustments. He goes on to say he doesn't think that the Rudy and Towns thing is going to work long-term. But here is a Jazz fan saying, Rudy is still awesome. And you guys need to just calm down.
Well, thanks. I'm glad that you made it over to our little community.
Another Jazz fan that came in on our last podcast and said, there are no podcasts as good as this in the Jazz podcast sphere. And so here I am.
Top 100 for a reason, baby. That would be the expectations we all set. Not even us. The expectations that this franchise set for themselves by making the move they did last July speak for themselves. But I think the frustrating thing for me, even at 23 and 24, with kind of more optimism than I've had in the past month, is that we just haven't really got to see it. Like we were promised something, and we've seen a lot of other cool stuff. Ant's taking a leap. Jaden's becoming all defense, like, you know, Torian Prince, all these like vets that they have, some of the young fun guys. But I would like to see Rudy Gobert with this version of Jaden, like Rudy Gobert fully healthy, Carl spacing the floor, this version of Kyle Anderson, and we just haven't seen it yet. And now we're, you know, over the halfway point of the season. But I'm with those beloved Jazz fans that have visited us, that I think you know, it could take a little more time, but I'm not out on Rudy Gobert. I've always been out on the price, but that he didn't make the price. Like that is what it is, and you'll navigate around it. So, but yeah, Rudy Gobert still has, I think, good years left and a good future here, but they got to get him back on the court. That groin thing too, that's another one. I don't like when people have groin injuries.
That's not like a sit out a game type of thing. When he tried to play a few nights ago, it's like, really? Like, it's the Jazz. I get you want to play, but actually, I have breaking flagrant Howell's ranking news here. We're up to 80th.
Let's go.
The 80th best basketball podcast in the United States of America. Flagrant Howell.
Think about that. Honestly, this has been, I know I do my thing with Dane, and I've been kind of helping him produce that, but this has been. People that listen to this, the subscribe rate review stuff you hear all the time, but it is a big thing for Phil and I to kind of grow this. This is the highlight of my week. I love doing this. People that interact with us, it's so much fun.
For me, quite frankly. I'm glad you're having fun.
You having to put up with my text. No, it's great. And like I said, if they can just go from treading water to maybe like really swimming a little bit, this will be really fun. But yeah, great community. And it's fun to just talk about X's and O's are great and breaking down, you know, cap numbers on stuff is fantastic, but I also just want to like talk about who unfollowed who on Twitter and who said what.
Has D'Lo refollowed the Timberwolves on any of these platforms yet, or is he still out?
I haven't checked that yet, but you know, now that we're talking about this great community and stuff, I think you probably saw Jace Frederick had kind of a viral tweet last night. But did you see that moment where he said Jace was in the locker room and he's like, basically when Jaden McDaniels left the locker room, he looked at Naz Reid and just looked him square in the face and said, "Naz Reid." And just left. That is such a Timberwolves Twitter thing that we've kind of created, all of us, the fans specifically, the Naz Reid folklore, and the fact that the players are starting to buy into it and like same stuff we are. It's a cool, cool community. I always think it's the best fans. So yeah, top 80. We'll be top 50. If the Wolves could just beat the Rockets twice, we'll get to top 50.
Oh, I think that'll cause some major, major buzz around the NBA podcast world for sure. All right, let's go. Aaron Perry here on YouTube says, the Rudy trade going belly up is going to be so funny because the Score North boys were all gung-ho when it happened and will somehow spin it that they never wanted him in the first place. Yeah, the Score North boys going to put some spin. So
We need Score North boys merch for sure. I went from a blog boy to a Score North boy. I love it.
Oh, my God. So, Aaron, I am here also speak for myself and say, because I kind of convinced Kyle to like this trade. Kyle did not plan on liking the trade. I was one of the people that twisted Kyle's arm and said, no, dude, trust in Tim Connelly. This is going to be great. Trust in Chris Finch. I loved the trade at the time, or at least liked it a lot. It's, you swallow hard on the draft picks. If it turns out to be wrong, Aaron, I promise you, I will spin the hell out of it, and we never had this conversation.
That's, again, Phil has been a great mentor for me in doing this stuff. I thought you were going to offer him his money back, because that's always my thing. Like, I don't charge anyone for content, so if you don't like what it is, just let me know. I'll Venmo you back $0.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I kept those tweets up for a reason. That the day it happened, I was, again, the whole Mexico trip, I was just like, please don't lose Jaden McDaniels. They didn't. They overpaid, but back to the Jazz fans' points, like Rudy Gobert is a really good player, and I think kind of like Kyle Anderson will age better than, you know, like a Chris Paul or like a Ja Morant's a god right now, but I always fear how Ja Morant's going to age because he falls down a lot, and that bumps and bruises kind of add up. So the price they paid, whatever, but I think Rudy Gobert's got a good future here, and if they can just kind of figure out a little more point Ant or who's going to space the floor with him, it might avoid going belly up. But yeah, that's what the greats do. That's why, again, you're as good as you are. Like, it doesn't really matter what happens. I'll spin the hell out of this.
Spin doctors, yes. And then Gerald Becker here via YouTube says, Kyle, you should mention more that you travel. We get it, dude. You're important.
Oh, that is I think between
where are you in Maui now? Are you in Seattle? Are you in New York? Where are you right now? Are you in Thailand? Are you with Cliff Kingsbury
right
now?
Driving throughout the country. Like, appreciate that. Yeah, between the travel, I mean, just trying to be as transparent as possible. And then some people don't like the food comps. Also, some people did not like me saying that as a large portion of the fan base, we didn't really love the Walker Kessler draft pick at the time, and some people were like, don't throw me into that pile. The problem with the internet is that things like exist forever. So some of you listening should try this. That's a cool website called Advanced Twitter Search. You can go back and look at people's tweets back around the draft. There's a lot of people that cover the Wolves or follow the Wolves. They're like, I don't know about this big stiff white dude from Auburn. Those are still up there. The articles and the tweets are like, I'm done with this franchise if they draft Walker Kessler. Those things happened. So just remember that.
We should do an old tweets exposed run through on some of this stuff.
You and I have had some bad ones too, but just, you know, everyone misses a couple shots, right? Jaden doesn't make them all, but the important thing is, like you said, spinning it. No matter how bad the takes are, I'll find confidence to spin it and make it sound good.
Absolutely. Yes. We will gaslight you all day. Twitter troll guy. All right. That's a bow on this Friday edition of Flagrant Howls. Again, if you could if you could continue to give us the subscribe button and the like button on the YouTube channel, help spread the word. And we'll see. So when are those Rockets games? When did we get one on
Saturday? Home, and then they go down to Houston Saturday. Obviously hosting the Rockets. There's like no Jabari Smith, who is their top pick, no Kevin Porter Jr. So they're like also banged up. And again, I'm comfortable saying this, even though it could look so funny next week. Worst team in the league. They don't have a lot of veteran presence. They're not coached well. The Wolves should win by 30. So I'm excited to talk about how they lost by 20 next week.
and then we'll just bitch and complain the next time we reconvene here. All right. He's Kyle. I'm Phil. This is your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast, Flagrant Howls.